Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Here and Now. There's a new hashtag making the rounds, Don't Ruin Kickstarter. The crowdsourcing site has helped people raise $500 million for projects ranging from board games to beekeeping. But now some people are upset that famous people, like actor Zach Braff, and if he's not famous enough for you, he's a filmmaker who also starred on the TV show Scrubs, are now using Kickstarter to fund their own pet projects. Here's Zach Braff on Kickstarter telling people why he's appealing directly to them.
There are money guys willing to finance the project, but in order to protect their investment, they're insisting on having final cut. Also, they want to control how the film is cast. So let's say I wanted Jim Parsons to play the role of my friend. Okay, the money folks might say, what if instead of your best friend, he was sort of a sexy pool boy? And what if that sexy pool boy was played by Justin Bieber? I want to play a sexy pool boy. There is no sexy pool boy in the movie. I want you to play my friend.
Why can't your friend also be a sexy pool boy?
Why would I be friends with a sexy pool boy? How did you get in here anyway?
I rappelled through the skylight.
Zach Braff quickly raised more than $2 million with that video on Kickstarter for his film called Wish I Was Here. What is the problem? Well, if there weren't one, then Here and Now media analyst John Carroll would not be here.
So I'm glad there is one, actually.
Right. What is the complaint?
Well, besides the grammatical error in the title of the movie, I think the complaint is that Zach Braff is a really rich guy. And he is talking about maintaining creative control by using Kickstarter money. He could maintain creative control by using his own money. And that's one of the things that's in the social media coming up more and more. You know, why are you using other people's money and the potential of taking it away from other projects, from startups, from indie filmmakers who really don't have the resources?
Well, the answer might be that films cost a lot of money. I'm not sure Zach Braff is that rich a guy. And isn't the bottom line is never use your own money, you know, well, try to get investors?
Sure. But, the question is, you know, are these the right investors to get? I mean, he has raised over $2.5 million. So I'm not sure how much he wants to spend on the movie. But if he's going to spend $10 million on the movie, $2.5 million doesn't buy creative control, because, you know, $7.5 million is coming from somewhere else.
Well, we'll return to some of the questions, but when did this all start? We remember we had some young entrepreneurs on who were creating a watch that they were selling on Kickstarter, and the idea is that people put money in because they will get something back if the project comes to fruition. In that case, it would be a watch. So when did there start to be questions?
The question started, as far as I could tell, with Amanda Palmer, who went on and wanted to raise $100,000 to cut a new album. She had had a falling out with a record company. She raised, actually, $1.2 million. She went and cut the record. She went on tour. And then on the way, she kept crowdsourcing, sort of, and asking local musicians, you want to come up and play on stage with me, and I'll give you beer and something else, lots of love. And people sort of reacted to that, reacted badly, because they said, you're going around, you're abusing sort of these local musicians who don't have $1 million from Kickstarter, and why aren't you exhibiting more largesse in terms of people who have less than you do?
Well, Amanda Palmer talked about that with us and also in her TED Talk. Let's listen to a little of what she had to say about this.
This hurt in a really familiar way. And people saying you're not allowed anymore to ask for that kind of help because they weren't with us and they couldn't see the exchange that was happening between me and my crowd, an exchange that was very fair to us, but alien to them.
John Carroll, Amanda Palmer also says that after the uproar over her asking musicians to play for beer or whatever, she did pay them, number one, so she did pay them. But her defenders say, wait a minute, this is the Kickstarter model. Maybe those musicians wouldn't be heard otherwise. Maybe she's giving them this great opportunity, and what she's getting out of it is one more musician that she doesn't have to put up on the tour because she's paying for the whole tour.
Right. You can look at this from either side. You can look at this as a real benefit for everybody, for the sort of the independent filmmaker as well as Zach Braff, because Kickstarter gets more and more attention, more and more people gravitate toward it, and so there's a bigger pool that the other people can pull from. This is Kickstarter's sort of ripple effect that they talk about in their defense. On the other hand, you've got people who think that it's just unseemly to do this, that basically this should be a place that should not be as commercial as a Zach Braff would be. There are a whole lot of celebrities or well-known creative people who are going there to fund their independent projects. Whoopi Goldberg went and collected $70,000-something to make a documentary on Moms Mabley. A lot of people think, you know, that's $74,000 that should have gone to somebody else.
Well, and in most of these cases, the people who invest are getting something back. I went to a Tom Rush concert. Yeah. I was happy to support Tom Rush's dream of having an anniversary concert at Boston Symphony Hall, which he could not have afforded. He's a famous folk singer. People might think, well, you could afford this, but he couldn't. No way he could afford Symphony Hall and the union payments that he had to make.
Sure.
So he asked people to pay for it.
Yeah, and that's fine. And if people get something back of value, in the end, the defense is they're entering into a transaction here, and it's their business. It's not anybody else's business. On the other hand, you know, you get things of greater or lesser value. Zach Braff is sending out his song list every week and sneak preview of the soundtrack to the movie. So I'm not sure how much money that's worth.
Well, who are some of the other big names on Kickstarter now?
Some of the other big names are the creator of Ren and Stimpy, trying to do an animated film. There's a lot of people trying to do animated films. Charles Kaufman, who directed Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, is trying to do a stop-motion animated film. David Fincher, the girl with the dragon tattoo, is trying to do an animated film. There are a lot of people like that. But there are also journalists and journalistic organizations that are there. Planet Money, NPR's Planet Money, went to raise $50,000 to report out the life of a T-shirt.
So where do all these T-shirts come from? I'm Caitlin Kenny from Planet Money, and we're going to answer that question with a T-shirt. We're going to make a T-shirt, but we're also going to tell the fascinating tale of how our T-shirt got made.
They looked for $50,000. They got $300,000. Mm-hmm. So this is the model for a lot of different kind of people and a lot of different kind of work to be funded.
Well, it's funny you mention Planet Money, because Amanda Palmer says that NPR and public radio is the template. She says artists and audiences need to agree on what is valuable to them, and then audiences need to pay for it so that it's outside of the commercial mainstream, so nobody's indebted to anyone else. It's asking people to be responsible for their arts. And that underscores that these are people, maybe some of these people are saying, hey, I can capitalize on or co-opt Kickstarter and get this money, even though I have that money in the bank. But to some of these artists, it sounds like they're saying, this is the way it should be.
And some of the observers, media observers, say the same thing. And they say, this is just an extension of what we're seeing in the digital media world. The digital media world is collaborative. And that's what this is to many people. This is people collaborating with artists, filmmakers, watchmakers, whoever, to create a product. I would hate to see this site, Kickstarter, or any crowdsourcing organization abused. But I'm not sure that this is abuse. I think that this is an easy target, and this is sort of one end of the spectrum, but it's not the majority end of the spectrum. And I think that Kickstarter, its history has been, it's terrifically effective in helping people pursue their creative projects, whatever they might be.
I guess what you're also saying is, if you're going to go fund your favorite movie star, maybe poke around a little and fund the women's cooperative in South Carolina that wants to make a quilt or whatever.
Right. There's a lot of opportunity. And again, this whole idea of the ripple effect. People go to check out Zach Braff's trailer on Kickstarter and they find other things.
Here now, media analyst John Carroll. He's also a mass communication professor at Boston University. And we'll have a link to his Campaign Outsider blog at hereandnow.org. Professor, thanks as always.
Nice to be here.
Okay, so let's give them some time. This is MoPhone, an Oakland, California band. They have 28 days to meet their $15,000 Kickstarter goal. Madeline Hill from Indianapolis is looking to publish a book about her trip down the Mississippi River. Walter Plotnick just wrote me. He is got to raise money for an art show in Belgium. Let us know your favorite Kickstarter project, hereandnow.org. Here Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. As the Boston bombing investigation continues, we'll speak with Muslims who want to tell us what they think their role is in monitoring members of their mosque. Also, what is the enduring appeal of The Great Gatsby? Our critic reads it every summer. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture here and now.